friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Don't be afraid to hop over there on the YouTube channel. Our buddy Joe Murr has told us about it. I was like, come on, join us on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Get in the chat if you will. And we, of course, are talking about the news of the day. Shador is going to be the backup quarterback. And with that, Jason Lloyd went on the Scoop City podcast, usually with Diana Rossini. I think today the host, this time I think James Palmer was the host.
Diana.
Hopefully Chase was there.
Diana, what are we doing?
Hopefully Chase was there.
I work at a different network now, Diana.
Oh, that's right. Is he still on the pod? No, I don't even know.
No, I think he's been off the pod for a while now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I thought you were like a big Diana Rossini stan.
Yeah, I kind of stopped listening because of Chase Daniel.
That's unfortunate.
I've been listening to in 6 weeks because he just...
Diana.
I think he's
Diana,
gone.
Diana, what are we doing?
Well, now I'm going to have to start listening again. Yeah. Good news for me.
Your show's back.
Yeah. I mean, Mark Maron's retiring from his podcast, so I've lost that one. Bring a new podcast right into it. But Jason was on the Scoop City podcast talking about the Browns' fears about Shador Sanders.
He's extremely likable, but he just casts this shadow over everything. I honestly, I'm not trying to be dramatic with this. I don't see any other alternative. Either ownership is pushing this on them, which is not entirely out of the question, or they are so afraid of having another Baker Mayfield situation blow up on him. He's not good enough to promote, but they're scared of what he may become 2 or 3 years from now. So they're just going to hold on to him and keep him on the 53.
That's incredible.
There was a lot there.
There
was a lot.
I cannot wrap my head around the idea of we're afraid he's going to become another Baker Mayfield, because that means you didn't learn the damn lesson of Baker Mayfield, which is who gives a rat's butt cheeks what the guy says into a microphone. If he's good enough to win with in the NFL, how about you just put him on the field and let him do it?
Oh, you see, I thought it was something different. You're probably right in your assessment. My bird brain took it to a different way. I thought he was talking about if he becomes another Baker Mayfield, like he was 10th to 15th in the class, and they didn't know, should they pay him? Should they not pay him? What are they? And now, obviously, hindsight shows us they should have just paid him and then just built the team around Baker, and you probably would have had a lot of success. But at the time, they thought in the AFC North, you couldn't win that way.
I just find it
with a 10 to 15 quarterback.
I just find it incredibly ironic that you would have moved on from Baker with that logic 3 years ago, and then you took the lowest ceiling quarterback in the draft with Dylan Gabriel. There's some galaxy brain stuff that goes on sometimes, but the idea that this organization would be afraid of what? Casting a shadow, how does that matter? I don't understand being afraid of big personalities. I really don't. Mm-hmm. And they do seem to be allergic at that. Not at wide receiver, because Jerry Jeudy is certainly a big David Njoku, another big personality.
Myles Garrett, about as big as it gets.
Myles Garrett. They've had Jadeveon Clowney.
David Njoku.
There's countless guys.
They got personalities.
But at the quarterback spot, who cares? Who gives a rip what shadow a guy casts? Can he play football? Why is that not And again, I understand. I'll be honest with you. When I hear afraid of the shadow that Shador casts, can I tell you 100% who I think it is? I think it's Kevin.
Well, it sounds like Kevin.
I just don't.
Because Kevin and Baker clashed in that regard, and it seems like Kevin wants everyone to be the quarterback that he took the NFC title game in Case Keenum.
I just, this idea of living in your fears. You've brought in guys who are accused of some really rough stuff. None more so than Deshaun Watson. But because he comes out in the media and goes, hey, you live to fight another down, that's better?
Yeah, it's dumb.
What kind of mental gymnastics does it take to be Deshaun's been accused of some things. He's being sued for some things off the field. All right? And those are problematic. But when he gets in that quarterback room, he just says yes, sir, no, sir. What the hell are we talking about?
You would have thought that they would be swerving into trying to find almost what is the next Baker. In many ways, all right, we got it wrong there. Now maybe we can learn from that lesson and we can get it right in the future. And obviously, Jason's making the suggestion that that's not really the case here.
I just think it's weird that you can overcome deficits in personality, in off the field issues, in every other position but the quarterback position, which that's, again, why it leads me to believe this is about the head coach. And I just think, like, I don't know how Kevin Stefanski expects to exist in the NFL in a world where the only quarterbacks you can coach are the blandest personalities like
Team
Utua.
You got to be Ned Flanders. You got to have Kirk Cousins come on down, which makes a surprise they didn't actually trade for Kirk Cousins if this is the kind of quarterback that they want.
And like and by the way, again, this would 100% continue to point to the fact that it was not Kevin who drafted Shador. And that it was, in my opinion, it's still Andrew Berry.
I don't think we need any more evidence to even point in that direction, do we? Like, I mean, like, all we're doing is compiling at this point because it's been so obvious from Jump Street that he had nothing to do with Shador based off of the decisions that he continues to make.
I just...
congratulations. Even if Shador plays, let's say, 3 weeks from now, you're the third quarterback that'll play this year. That's not really much belief in you. You're the third off the board.
To me, it's not even about Shador. This is about Kevin. It's like, listen, I know Andrew Berry was the express, he was conductor number one on the, we're not going to pay Baker Mayfield and we got to go get Deshaun Watson, right? I know the reporting is correct that he progenated the idea and then he got Kevin on board. And once Kevin was on board, then they went to Jimmy Haslam. But I think Kevin was on board because he just couldn't handle the personality of Baker Mayfield. And it's like, I don't get it. Like, I've met so many football coaches of so many different personalities. Like Greg Williams.
Yeah.
I haven't met Greg, but I know of Greg, right?
I've met Greg.
Ron Rivera, who I've met. I've met Matt Rhule. They're so good at coaching everyone. And the idea that there'd be one position you'd have that you're afraid, guys, we would be the luckiest you-know-whats on the planet. If I'm talking about to the exact letter of the law, if Shador became Baker Mayfield, if he came with the circus, and by the way, he just doesn't come with like the anchor of Baker. I think the biggest problem with Baker behind the scenes is he get really grumpy at people. It doesn't seem to be this kid at all.
I'm trying to think of all the quarterbacks you would take off the board instantly for Kevin Stefanski. Like any sort of prior, any sort of it. You know, it's like half the week. I can't stop coming up with different names in my head. I started with Dak and I just kept going down the list in my head. And it's like, there's so many different quarterbacks that you'd have that Stefanski just. So, all right. So Stefanski's got the parameters for Stefanski is not only do you have to be a choir boy, you have to be this great, upstanding model citizen in bed by 9 o'clock
and
all these other things. Yeah. Which, by the way, Dylan Gabriel, I've seen you on TikTok. I've seen him and his fiance on TikTok together.
That's his girlfriend's TikTok. That's
because it's not as popular. I guess it doesn't matter. Neither here nor there. So you have to be this just cut and dry person. You're taking out three quarters of the league. When it's all said and done. You also can't throw the ball deep too. Apparently, that's the other part that he doesn't want you to do.
So is there
you have to be a check down Charlie, an A dot, basically anemic to A dot in general, and then you also have to be a choir boy. Like you're getting like three guys in 10 years to be able to do that.
I clearly have just reacted to the Browns are afraid. Kevin Stefanski is afraid that that Shador will turn into another Baker with all that entails. Is there anything I'm missing from that point? Because you mentioned it. There was a lot in there, and most of it was like head scratching, like, what are we doing? Because Jason also wrote the piece, and we didn't get to it yesterday, because we were still waiting for this decision on who's going to be the backup. And again, Shador's the backup on Sunday. Dylan's going to obviously continue to be the starter. But like Jason Lloyd yesterday writing the piece, they should just move on from him. That's the part of the Shador discourse that's like, guys, I'm rooted in whoever is the Browns quarterback succeeding. This week, that's Dylan Gabriel. Let's get it, baby. Let's get it, Team Utua, right? When it becomes Shador, it's going to be Shador, right? If it's Bailey freaking Zappe, it's going to be Bailey Zappe. But this idea that we're 5 weeks in, oh, there's just too much with Shador. Huh? What? There's just too much noise. That's not why they're 1-4. They're 1-4 because they're crap.
Yeah, you're not 1-4 because he pantomimed.
Like,
I'm sorry, guys.
I didn't, honestly.
Which everyone else made way too big a deal of.
With 100% agree. But I don't understand Jason's point at all that they should just move on. Because they can't handle it? I get it that a fifth-round pick has long odds. And just thinking of Shador as just a fifth-round pick is absolutely part of the Shahader playbook. I'm not saying Jason's thinking that, but I'm just saying if you go to letter law, I get it with the fifth-round pick. There's no surprises here. We knew that people would be talking a lot about Shador. So the idea that you get in...
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
It's like, oh, there's so much noise around him.
Uh-huh. Well, and that's also the part of me that thinks, again, reason number 12 million that we don't need to, that it was Haslam and not Stefanski and Barry, is because Haslam does love the noise. Haslam likes to be talked about. I look at him like Jerry Jr., you know, like he is Jerry Jones light in many ways. And so, like, there's a part of him that he likes all the national conversation that's happening over the previous few weeks around this football team. Because you know what? If you didn't have Shador right now, nobody would be talking about the Browns in general at all from a national perspective.
Michael in Canton, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Nikki Biggs Wilson, a voice from the Wayback Machine, Fader, West Market Street, Akron.
Ah, what's up, my guy?
You are spot on, brother. This whole thing about Stefanski not being able to handle personalities, they should have ran his ass out of town before they ran Baker out of town. The night Baker planted that flag at the Horseshoe in Columbus, I said to my son, who might have been 13 at the time, that's the guy. That's the guy the Browns need to go get. He said, are you out of your mind? What an a-hole this guy is. Why would they want him? I said, That's the kind of chutzpah and stones it's going to take to rescue the most bereft franchise in the last 50 years in Cleveland. They had him. They let him get away because Stefanski got his feelings hurt that the kid not only knew more about offense than him, but he'd already put up big numbers as a rookie under Freddie Kitchens before Stefanski ever got there. Think about personalities, and I hate to switch sports on you. Look at what Grover did in those glory days of the Indians when he had guys like Kenny Lofton, Albert Bell, Baerga, and, of course, our shortstop, Vizquel. He had all those personalities in one clubhouse and was able to manage it and succeed. Stefanski had one quarterback. And if I have to hear one more time that he was too immature to handle it, he was a 23-year-old kid that was having huge success at the NFL level. Yeah, that might give you a big head.
Fader, it's good to hear, brother. Thank you so much.
Much love.
Very good man there. So here's
why didn't you put Fader in the chat instead of Michael?
Because only I know. That's a nickname for Mike.
Now we all know, though. You use the nickname. Now we all know.
Well, I wouldn't have known if he hadn't said Fader.
You're the only one that reads the chat, though. If he would have just called in and said Fader, you're the exact person that would have been good for.
Now we're really going to get super confusing because that's the call screener, and you referred to it as a chat, and then I referred to the chat as a super chat, and now my eyes are cross-eyed.
Too many chats.
This being said, that actually is the quintessential, the thing that I think Mike was hitting at and that I think you and I are both hitting at is – I actually think Kevin does need somebody who is anti-Kevin. I don't think Kevin's a great natural leader. I don't think he's a naturally great communicator. And that's what Baker was. And I'll tell you this. I think it's what Shador can be. I'm talking about as a communicator and as a leader. Because I do think he has personality. I do think he relates to this town. And I think Baker was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that the Baker-Shador comparisons, even though it's not a perfect one-for-one, you can't learn your lesson from Baker Mayfield. I'm not trying to be literal here, but get the hell out of my town.
The similarities between Baker and Shador always amaze me because they really are. They're very, very, they're rampant is what it is. And then the through line is there. And it's funny. Yesterday I was thinking to myself, I'm like, man, I remember the last time I really got like criticized for loving a player. Like, the last time I really got criticized for just loving and going in on a player, it was when you were gone and I was here at the station. I was the only one that loved Baker. And it felt like it was just me against the entire station when it came to Baker. And then it's like, it took 4 years. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh yeah, we were right on that one. And it feels in a very similar way that way with Shador in many regards too. And it's just, I'd love to do a study, like a case study as to why people like myself are attached to both Baker and Shador. And I think it's a lot of the intangibles. I think it's a lot of the leadership. I think it's a lot of those things that Stefanski was scared of that I tend to swerve to.
216-474-0092. After you heard the Jason Lloyd clip, do you think the Browns are living in their own fears with Shador? But the Browns, Shador, Jackson Dart, Dylan Gabriel, and the not-so-subtle art of recency bias in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.